Would you like to connect with experienced finance and accounting professionals for mentorship and career advice? Do you want to hear how the leaders in your profession got where they are now? Are you looking for a networking space, especially for the finance and accounting community? Then FEI Engage is the place for you. FEI Engage is the only community and content hub focused strictly on finance and accounting. It gives you access to the wisdom and experience of long-tenured professionals so you can make savvy decisions about your future. Visit www.financialexecutives.org/FEI-engage or click on the link in this episode's show notes to learn more.
Welcome to FEI Weekly. I'm Olivia Berkman, and today's episode is another replay from FEI's ICONS Women of Note Conference. You'll hear Nicole Thorne Jenkins, the John A. Griffin Dean of the McIntyre School of Commerce at the University of Virginia, explore the topic of advancement and navigating transitions. Enjoy.
Thanks so much, and I appreciate the opportunity to join the group and to share my thoughts around the topic of navigating transitions, the when and why of advancement. So I began, as he mentioned, my professional career in the audit department at Pricewaterhouse in the DC office, where I spent about 6 years before going back to graduate school and earning my PhD in accounting at the University of Iowa. So I was a rank and file faculty member for about 15 years before taking on an administrative role within the dean's office at the University of Kentucky. That role was vice dean, which is effectively the chief operating officer in the business school. And that was immediately before becoming dean here at the University of Virginia. It's also important to know that I've been married for 26 years and that we have a 20-year-old daughter and an 18-year-old son. Navigating transitions is an important topic to me because I meet so many amazing women from all walks of life who experience signposting throughout their lives that they don't recognize, they don't think is for them, or they delay making a move on. In thinking about our living our best life, we tend, I think, to time travel. So we think back over what's happened to us in the past. We imagine what the future might hold for us, and we critique where we are at any given moment. I believe it's important to be present in the current moment and to make the next best decision for yourself, given what you know to be true right now. So giving yourself permission to update your dreams when you have new information and always making the next best decision while walking down this path of life is how I believe that you make those transitions and take advantage of opportunities as they lay before you. There's a pretty famous quote from Steve Jobs that demonstrates this philosophy. So he gave a graduation speech at Stanford many years ago, and you probably are familiar with this quote, which is, you can't connect the dots looking forward. You only can connect them looking backwards. So you have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. You have to trust in something, your gut, destiny, life, karma, whatever. This approach has never let me down, and it's made all the difference in my life. I use this quote in my life to calm my nerves when I'm navigating transitions, which can be really hard. It helps me to center myself, to think about priorities, and to take leaps that may seem ill-advised to other people. So I'm going to structure my remarks today around the topic of navigating transitions into three inflection points that I've experienced in my life that have informed and enabled how I navigate advancement across my professional career. So the first one is leaving the expected for the unknown. So I left a successful career at Pricewaterhouse to do an uncommon thing. So most people leave public accounting to take a very good job, high-paying job, interesting job at a client, or they leave maybe to go get an MBA and to pivot into a different career. But I left public accounting to enter a PhD program and to become a university professor. And I can recall my father shaking his head at me when I told him and my mother what I was doing. And he's like, what are you thinking, girl? I don't know what's going on. And, you know, this typical pathway through public accounting, you know, does not include a PhD. But for me, the happiest time of my life at that point was when I was a student. I loved being a student. I loved a university setting. And I was willing to take a calculated risk to do something amazing with my one and only life, even though it was unexpected. So leaving this expected for the unknown built my muscle for taking calculated risks and for betting on myself. So number two is moving from being independent to being interdependent. So as the youngest of four children, we're all born within 5.5 years of each other. When I left my parents' house for university, I fell in love with being an independent person. And I appreciated making my own money, making my own decisions, and not having to think very much about other people. So getting married for me was a huge paradigm shift. And this transition was made possible by participating in premarital counseling over a weekend that my husband and I did. And it's resulted in 26 years of marriage. And that weekend, we discussed all the big topics that could happen over the course of a lifetime. And we made commitments to one another about future education, the size of our family, how we might care for our parents as they aged, money, everything felt like we discussed. This included the decision for us that one of us would stay at home when we had children. So many professional women step back from their careers to take care of children or aging parents or create margin around other life events. And at the beginning of our marriage, my husband was an engineer at Procter & Gamble, and we assumed that I would eventually be the person who would stay at home with our children. So when I was expecting our first child, Procter & Gamble was going through a large company-wide cost-cutting measure. And my husband, Toby, was a group manager running a 24-hour production operation in a unionized plant. The only way they were able to make their numbers at the plant was to transfer out the 8 managers who reported to him, leaving him the sole engineer running a 24-hour operation. And he knew that he would not be promotable from that role. Running a 24-hour operation, he also felt that he would never see our daughter. At the same time, company-wide, Procter & Gamble was offering retirement packages to reduce the number of group managers by 20% across the corporation. These were fairly lucrative packages, and Toby ended up taking early retirement and stepping down from his role. And he took on being home a stay-at-home parent. And we decided that we would try it out for 6 months, see how it went, and then we would make some other decisions. So that 6-month trial turned into 10 years that Toby stayed home with our kids. And when our children were in middle school, he returned to college, earned a degree in couples and family therapy, and now he's in private practice. So this move from independence to interdependence created the capacity for me to have a family that I adore and to invest professionally in ways that would have been very difficult if I didn't have the partner that I have. So many have said that one's choice of partner is the most important decision that you'll ever make, and I could not agree more. Number three is leveraging the power of weak ties. Meg Jay is the author of a book called The Defining Decade, and she says that we all have an urban tribe, a friendship group that's similar to us in background and life experience and stage of life. In particular, Jay says that these friends are great for picking us up from the airport, coming over for a glass of wine, but they're not so great for presenting us with the unique, one-of-a-kind professional opportunities that many of us crave. The people in our lives who do that for us are our weak ties, friends of friends, and people that we sort of know, but we don't know them so well. So after being a faculty member for about 15 years, teaching classes and researching, I was invited to join the administrative team in the dean's office at the University of Kentucky, where I became vice dean. I managed the staff and faculty and all the administration. After my second year in that role, my husband turned to me one day and said, "You're going to make a really great dean one day." And I said to him, "I'm not doing that terrible job." But later that same week, my then dean was elevated to provost, which is the highest ranking academic official at the university, and a search ensued to find the next dean at the University of Kentucky. The then dean, who was my old provost, encouraged me to apply, which I did. And as luck would have it, I was a finalist, but ultimately I didn't get the job. By then, though, I had decided that I really wanted to be a dean. And the only way to get a dean job for me was to pack up my family and move to another university. And with having children in high school, I thought that would be an impossible thing to do. But to my surprise, both of my children were very supportive and willing to move. So I began to interview for dean's jobs. I attended a professional dinner with a friend, and a friend of a friend who was sitting at the same table shared that he had been approached by the University of Virginia to become dean of a commerce school here. He said that he had turned them down, but the search firm wanted to know if he would nominate someone else from his network. Because he was a friend of a friend, I didn't really ask him at that time to nominate me. But as luck would have it, I actually shared a hotel shuttle with him to the airport the next morning. And during our conversation, I asked if he would put my name in. So bottom line up front, I got the job. And a couple years later, this same friend of a friend nominated me for my first corporate board position, which has turned out to be an amazing experience. So leveraging the power of weak ties from my network presented the unimaginable dream opportunities for me. So leaving the expected for the unknown and moving from independence to interdependence allowed me to grow my comfort with risk-taking and helped me to find margin in critical life areas. These two capacities provided the skills that I needed to leverage the power of a weak tie that led to an amazing professional role that I was unable to navigate on my own. So when I was an undergraduate, I had goals for my life. When I graduated from undergrad with a degree in accounting and finance, I was going to spend 2 years in Pricewaterhouse, get my CPA, and go to law school. After the CPA exam, I decided that I was never going to take another test, so I scrapped law school and set my eyes on being a partner at the firm. After 6 years, I knew that I couldn't stay on the partner path, and I left to pursue my PhD in accounting. And let me tell you, there were a lot of exams and I had a really big paper to write at the end. I got married, began thinking about having a family. I was going to be a full chaired professor and have an amazing career as a researcher and educator. I got on that path, but then 15 years later, I moved to what's affectionately called in higher ed, the dark side, and became an academic administrator. So across the arc of my professional career, I have achieved a lot of goals. And at the same time, there are many goals that I articulated, I put on the vision board, I worked toward, and as I got closer to them, I gave myself permission to do some sense-making and to change my mind. For me, doing these things with my husband, Toby, and our two children has made such a difference. Being a team of four has brought unexpected joy and has given me the confidence to dream really big dreams and accomplish things that few people have ever done. And being able to celebrate all of our wins together and to lament the losses has made the last 26 years really fantastic. At this moment, my daughter, who's a third year here at the University of Virginia, it's been great having her here and watching her grow into a young woman who articulates and defends her opinions, communicates clearly and works exceedingly hard to achieve what she wants out of life, and exhibits kindness and empathy for others in an extraordinary way has been a great opportunity for Toby and I to watch her mature. Our son is a creative who's heading to art school this fall, and he has a heart that is so loving that it brings us to tears sometimes. Those two are by far the best things that Toby and I have ever done with our lives. So let me wrap up. Steve Jobs' quote about not being able to connect the dots looking forward, but only being able to do so looking backwards is so true. And it's rooted in a poem by Robert Frost titled The Road Not Taken. And the stanza from that poem that dovetails with Jobs' quote and resonates for me reads, "Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled, and that has made all the difference." So as you're navigating transitions, allow yourself to pick up and put down goals, strengthen your risk-taking muscles, leverage your whole network, and whether it's a partner, a family member, a group of friends, get yourself a built-in team, and the when and why of your advancement will begin to bubble up. Thank you.